So it is possible, Brother John, to be very active.
Yes.
To be very diligent to keep out evil, and be very busy. We might say, and I'll use an expression: busy for the Lord, doing, doing, doing. But and if you look at Ephesus, wow, what a vibrant assembly! Look at all the activity going on here. Perhaps in works of evangelism, perhaps in works, good works, and other things they were doing. But there was what was behind it, right? And we may try to hide the lack of love for one another by our busyness, as if it somehow replaces it. And it doesn't. Brethren, we can be as busy as ever. We can be doing dozens of things for the Lord. But do I love my brother? Do I love my brother? Do I love the Lord Jesus first of all? And, you know, this is what we'll get to in the verse 4. But verse, you know, you read verse 2 and 3 and you say, what a vibrant assembly. I'd want to be part of that, wouldn't you? But God knows our hearts. He knows why we do what we do. He not only knows what we do, he sees how we do it, but he also knows the motive behind it. I just want to emphasize that.
So then it's the one who is the witness can judge the motive. And those who look on and may say there is a great work there, we may have the wrong assessment of the fruit that is born there. We can't judge a motive. It is God who judges the motive. So the reviewer, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only one who is able and apt to judge the motive and do the review the true way. That's why he's the true.
And if I may add to that, I think, and I'll make it very simple, the danger in a meeting like Ephesus, those who have discernment, that's how they start, they know who's what, they have appreciation to the word of God, they labor much in it, they have appreciation for souls, they reach out, they have walked on the straight and narrow pathway. The danger there is this. They are going away from a person to a program. Let me say it one more time. You are switching from a person to a program. So you are doing actually everything that is right. That nobody could say any negative thing about any activity. Everything is just done in a proper way. But as we have already, the motive. We are switching from a person to a program. Let me, because you're trying to bring it right, practical to us. Is it a program that we are following when I'm going to the meeting? Or is it a person that I am going and attached to see that he is going, as we have heard, in complete control of everything? And when we lose sight of that, that's where coldness, that's where formality, that's where everything else happens. When the attachment of the heart and the sight of the eyes lose sight of the person who is in the midst, and we turn into, because there are different kind of programs, there are good programs and bad programs. We don't want any program, we want a person.
And I believe that demonstrates what you've just expressed, the danger that we're in to exalt the assembly above Christ, the head, in a very practical way, but often also in our expressions and terms that we use. And I'd like to, and you can correct me, Mark, if I'm not going advance, but on following on in the same vein that brethren have been speaking, taking the two passages in Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, and Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, in relation to the point that was made, thou hast left thy first love. And we can say, as was expressed now also, we cannot judge the motives, but the Lord does. But the motives do come out and reveal by our actions. And then notice in chapter 4, based on the wonderful truths that have been revealed to us, as you put it here in your brochure, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you've been called. How do we do that now? Hold fast to the assembly? Hold fast to the truth? What does it say? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. Exactly what already was mentioned. Now, is this evident in our local meetings? Is this the lowliness, the meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love? You notice how love, the very thing that they had left, their first love, was what he could commend in this epistle, chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Followers of God? Are you a follower of God? That's a high calling. We think, oh, well, I do the best I can. God doesn't have a standard, the best you can. He has one standard. Christ is the standard before him. He sets him before us. And then he says, walk in love as Christ has loved us. As Christ has loved us. And if this was in Ephesus, the all-absorbing thought in the start, in the beginning, that Christ has loved us. Can you imagine? Christ loved us. How did he love us? And gave himself for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. I'm exhorted in John's epistle to love my brother. To love him even as Christ loved me. He loved my brother. We're the same. Of the same nature, character that is there, given to us. And I believe we all would say that how far short, if I look within, how far short I come in this very thing. And can we not say that one of the great points in the recovery of the truth by the Spirit of God was the great truth, first of all, that Christ is head in glory and I'm associated in living union with him. And there's a body here on earth, the Spirit of God dwells here. And to keep and maintain the oneness of the body, we're gathered on the ground of the one body. And by conflict, we've divided it. And the way to maintain it is not in that way. So these are the areas where there's been tremendous failure. And the church at large, if we can see the hundreds of different groups and divisions there are, is a result of having departed in our affections to Christ, to realize as though I am more important in many ways, in my views, than his view is. That's down to earth situation.